past week I was thinking upon what I was going to present this afternoon, and we have been preaching through a series on Noah and the flood, and I was impressed on my mind to go a different direction. There was one morning that was kind of confirmed with what I felt was a confirmation anyway, with one of the hymns that I was listening to in the car, and it was redone at the end. It was a different arrangement, and it said at the end, "Oh, tell of the love of God." The message titled this afternoon will be "The Wondrous Love of Christ," and another confirmation on the Lord leading in this, I pray, is the song that was just called out. I was very thankful and encouraged as we sang, "Wondrous, oh, what wondrous love is this." The wondrous love of Christ. I want to look at this not necessarily in the ways that Christ loved us when he was here or loved us in action, but I want to look at this today in a comparison in a comparison approach in John chapter 15, verse 9. Last month I was reading a devotion by Charles Spurgeon, and this verse really just struck me with how much weight this verse has to it, and I'd never really realized and stopped and considered just what a powerful verse this is. So let's read here in verse 9, the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verse 9. "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved thee," or loved you. So I'd like for us today to consider this love of Christ, this wondrous love of Christ, comparing the great love that the Father has for Jesus, his only begotten Son, to the love that Jesus has for his people. And there are four ways I want to do that. I want to talk about this love that the Father has for his Son in the sense that it had no beginning. This love is without beginning. This love is without change. This love is without measure. And this love is without end. See, Jesus is the eternal Son without beginning. We look at verses such as Hebrews 13:8, that says he was the same yesterday, today, and forever. We see in chapter 8 of the Gospel of John, whenever he's speaking to the Pharisees, and he takes on the title of I Am. In Colossians 1:17, we'll go there just real quickly and see here how Christ in and of himself is without beginning. Colossians chapter 1, verse 17 says, "And he is before all things, and by him all things consist." So let's go now to the Gospel of John. We know that Christ is without beginning. But I want us to look and see how this love that the Father has for his only begotten Son is without beginning. So John chapter 17, we're going to look at a couple of verses here. "And now, O Father," this is verse 5, "glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was." Now, if we move on to verse 24, for time's sake, we'll look here. It says, "Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world." So there was not a moment in time when the Father began to love Jesus. There was never a moment where the Father began to love Jesus. This love is without beginning. In our text, in verse 9 of chapter 15, it says, "As the Father hath loved me, so I love you." So as we compare these loves, we will see that there was not a moment in time that Jesus began to love you. It was without beginning. Let's look at Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 3. And when I say you, I assume that in this congregation. We understand that I'm speaking of Jesus loving his brethren, Jesus loving the children of God. Jeremiah 31, verse 3. This is a very familiar verse. May not have needed to turn here necessarily. There's a verse worth considering as we're considering this everlasting love. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. You see, I can trace back and remember the love that I have for Kara, my wife. It's sweet to think back on the development of that love and how that love began to grow at that time. So I can trace that back. The love that I have for Kara, even as great as that love is, it is not without beginning. I can trace back to when that started. Same with Nadia, my little daughter. We knew that we were adopting a little baby, and we got there to the hospital, and we were blessed to get her at 3 hours old. We got into the room there. There were all these babies kind of lined up, and our nurse put our little robes on us and turned us around and showed us, picked up and said, this is your baby. And that was love at first sight. And I can trace back, though, even though that love is as strong as it is, I can trace back to when that love began. August 18th, 2012. You see, this love that God has for us, the love of God is, as Charles Spurgeon said, it's a stream whose source is hidden in eternity. You see, we can relate with the hymn writer who said, when I was a youth in the broad path of folly, in sin and rebellion, an alien from God. But in light of what we're considering this afternoon is, even when you were in the broad path of folly, in sin and alien from God. I've talked with countless friends and Christian friends that have shared their testimonies of how God, his love, was pursuing after them even in those days. You see, child of God, his love was just as great toward you during those days as that love is today. It did not begin when you began to follow God. God does not love us because we first loved him. We read in 1 John 4:19 that we love him because he first loved us. This love that the Father has for the Son is without beginning. And Christ compares that, saying, so is my love for you. What a wondrous love that we can consider this afternoon. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Starting in verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That means say something good about, praise the God and Father of our Lord and Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings and heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. We look there in verse 4, it says, in love. What did God do in love? It says, before the foundation of the world, he chose us. He loved us. Without beginning, God's love has actively pursued us, provided for us, and saved us. All throughout, before the foundation of the world, God was actively pursuing us in love. So this love is without beginning. And I want us to move on to look at another aspect of this love, that it's without change. You see, during the sufferings and sorrows that our Savior endured, we read that he was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. We read of the mockings, of the men spitting upon him and smiting them with their fist. We read of the beatings and the floggings, the crucifixion, the nails that went through his hands and feet. But during all these sufferings and sorrows, God's love did not change. You see, Christ was not suffering because of his Father's love growing cold or indifferent. His love is without change. And so it is with you. I've heard it said this way, and it really struck me once when I was under a preacher who used this phrase. He says, God's love is always red hot toward you. Consider that. We know that our love toward God is not always red hot. But God's love toward you is always red hot. No matter the circumstance, no matter what you're going through, God's love has not changed. Malachi 3:6 says that, I am the Lord, I change not, therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Therefore ye sons of Jacob, you are not consumed. In James chapter 1, we will go there, James chapter 1, speaks of every good and every perfect gift being from above. In verse 17, it says, it comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. It's comparing God here to, it says, the Father of lights. We think of the sun. We think of the planets. We think of these in the heavens that are rotating and having changes. And we think of the changes of our seasons due to the sun's distance from the earth. We think of the rising of the sun, the setting of the sun. Well, you see, the Father of lights, the God of heaven, with him there's no variableness. There's no variation with God. There's no shadow of turning, not even a shadow of turning, not even a shadow of a change with God. And if this is true about God in and of himself, then it's true also of his attributes. One of the attributes being his love. So his love, again, is without change. But if we look at this again in Lamentations chapter 3, we'll consider this attribute being specifically spoken of here. We look at the character of God, that he is without change. Let's look at this attribute. Lamentations chapter 3. Verse 22 says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. So it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. This reminds us of what we have considered in Malachi 3. And it says here, his compassions fail not. His love toward us, again, is without change. It fails not. New every morning are his mercies, his love, his compassions. Great is his faithfulness. See, through your life circumstances, and though your life circumstances may change, you might be on the mountaintop today experiencing comfort and joy, and in the valley tomorrow experiencing suffering and tears. You might be experiencing victory and strength in your spiritual warfare today. Tomorrow you might be experiencing failure and grief. But we can take comfort in knowing that he loves us still the same. His love is without change. John Flavel said, as God did not at first choose you because you were high, so he will not forsake you because you were low. The hymn writer Samuel Medley wrote, often I feel my sinful heart prone from my Jesus to depart. But though I have him oft forgot, his loving kindness changes not. As I was thinking of this, I consider that even in the glory world, when we are with him face to face, he will love us no more then than he does now, than he does today. It's hard for us to comprehend that. It's hard for us to comprehend that he would love us, that Christ would love us as the Father would love his Son who is without sin. But even when we are in glory without sin, he will love you no more than he loves you today. He has set his love upon you from before the foundation of the world. It's without beginning. It's also without change. So through your sufferings, through your trials, it's not because there's any indifference or coldness on God's part in his love toward you. His love toward you is always red hot, as it is toward Christ. Thirdly, we would consider that his love is without measure. See, there's not a certain measure or limits, a measure of or a limit to the love that the Father had for His Son. We usually put measures on our love. Right now I'm trying to teach Nadia how to put a measure on her love. I walked in a couple of weeks ago from work, had a long day at work, and got in and opened the door. Nadia comes running toward me. I'm like, all right, she's excited to see me. Well, she runs past me, gets to the glass door and starts hitting on it because our dog Rosebud was right there in front of the glass door. I was like, Nadia, come on. Here's Daddy. Come give me a hug. So I'm trying to teach her how to put a better measure on her love. That happened again this past, I think, Friday. So I'm still working on that. And some of you parents, I may need to talk with you after the sermon. But Kara tells me often that she loves certain dresses or that she loves a certain book. Well, if I begin asking Kara about these dresses or these books, she can quickly tell me which one is her favorite. There's measures there that she puts on her love toward these different things. So we're used to putting a measure there. My grandmother used to sing to me a song. It was, I Love You, Tommy. And it's probably, I don't know if Tommy is the original name in that song or not, but I love you, Tommy. Oh, yes, I do. I'm sure it's not the original name being Tommy, but she would go on. And she would sing the song, and then when she got finished, she would say that, I love you this much. And she would just stretch her arms out. She'd say, how much do you love me? I would do the same thing. I'd stretch out my arms, saying, I love you this much. Trying to put a measure to our love. But can you measure the waters of the ocean? Can you measure the height of the heavens? Because this would better describe the love of God. It's without measure. We sing this. There's a hymn writer that has wrote, the love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. This love is without measure. Brother Isaac in his message this morning went to Psalm 103. Let's go back there to Psalm 103 as we're considering this measureless love. We'll look at verse 10. We're going to go on through verse 14. It says, He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. For He knoweth our frame, He remembereth that we are dust. In verse 11 it says, As the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. That word mercy can also be translated loving kindness. So there's not a measuring stick that we can lay out there and measure the love of God toward us. There's times that you may say to yourself, well, God just doesn't love me as much as He does this person over here. You can just tell because how this person is, how blessed they seem to be. It's just God's love toward me. I believe He loves me, but not as much as him or not as much as her. What we read here, as high as the heaven is above the earth, so great is His loving kindness toward us. So there's not a person here or a person there among the family of God that is loved any more than the next. He loved His only begotten Son with His measureless love, and He says, even as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. In Ephesians chapter 2, Ephesians chapter 2, as we're considering this love that's without measure, we'll start in verse 4. It says, But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, not of yourselves. And it'll continue on there. But I want us to get here, this great love, this measureless love, as we are quickened together, as we're raised up together, made to sit in these heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come we might also see this exceeding grace and this exceeding loving kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Oh, what a measureless love, that what a great love that God has loved us with. But this love is also without end. We're considering again, it's without beginning. It's also without change. He loves us without measure, but He also loves us without end. You see, there will never be an end to the love that the Father has for His Son. It did not end on the cross. It did not end at His death. His love is without end toward His only begotten Son. And so it is with us. He loves us in the same way without end. We are used to things ending, aren't we? We're used to endings. A great book, a wonderful vacation, a church meeting, family get-togethers, each day comes to an end. Our life eventually, and even sometimes suddenly, comes to an end. We're used to things ending. Let's go to Job chapter 19. As we consider that the love of God toward His children does not end. It's without end. Job chapter 19. I'm going to look here in verse 25. It says, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another's, though my reins be consumed within me." And that last phrase, "though my reins be consumed within me," is also translated, "how my heart yearns within me." But how could Job have this hope that he, even after his body had been destroyed, that he himself, his very own eyes, would behold his Redeemer? I'd submit to you that it's because Job understood that the love of God toward him, the love of his Redeemer toward him, was without end. That's what gives us this hope. There's nothing that shall separate us from this love. Not even death, not even the skin worms are going to separate us from this love that Christ has toward us. Now, with our wedding vows, we usually would have somewhere in there, "till death do us part." But see, that there will never be a parting between God and His children. Paul said that for him and for us as well, to live is Christ, to die is gain. There's no ending, not even at death, of this love. Romans 8, verse 35, asks the question, "What shall separate us from the love of Christ?" Let's go there. Romans 8, chapter 5. I'm sorry, verse 35. Chapter 8, verse 35. It says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, 'For thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter.' Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Again, this love is without end. There's nothing here within the whole list of things that is listed. There's not one that they can say, "Well, this might separate you from the love of Christ." It says, no, not one, that there is no height nor depth, and there's no, not even any other creature that shall be able to separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse 16 says, "For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." That's without end. We shall be with the Lord. It's without end because of this love that is without end, that we shall be with the Lord. We'll read of this in Revelation as well. Chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. I'm going to get just a couple of verses here. It says in verse 1, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea." We'll look here in verse 7. Verse 4. It says, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." We're getting just a glimpse here of the glory world. And verse 5 of chapter 22 says, "There shall be no night there, and they shall need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever." So again, we look here at this hope that we have of the glory world. We look at what is this confident expectation of glory, this hope that is within us. And I would submit again that it rests and hinges upon the fact that the love of God is without end, without end. So His love is without beginning, it's without change, without measure, without end. And in that same verse that we started in John chapter 15, verse 9, it says, "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love." Continue ye in my love. So through sickness, pain, heartache, and uncertainty, continue in God's love. Stay your mind upon this love that is without beginning, that's without change, without measure, without end. Take courage in this love that says, though you walk through the waters and the rivers, they're not going to overflow you. Though you may walk through the fire, it's not going to burn you. We can take courage in this love. We can take comfort in this love. As Christ says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." Do you believe that God loved His only begotten Son? Well, do you believe that Christ loves His brethren, that loves God's people? Take comfort. It says, "I go to prepare a place for you." Many mansions, it talks about, are being built. I would say this, it's being built for you out of love. This love that has been set upon you from before the foundation of the world. But it's going to go on here in John 15, verse 10. It says, "If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another, as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, that ye love one another." We'll get into this, Lord willing, in more details when it comes to loving one another. But it says here, and that would be in a different message, but it says here, "If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love." Verse 9 says, "Continue, abide in my love." It says in verse 17, "These things I command you, that ye love one another." So we see a connection here of abiding and continuing in this love by being fruitful, by abiding in this in the commandments of Christ, loving one another. "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love." So maybe may we be encouraged today to consider and to continue in this wondrous love that Christ has for us.